Gosh, that took us down memory lane, didn't it? Some of those children you saw are 20 years old now. Claire, I saw you going down the separate slope there a little bit. How God has been faithful to us, and I want to tell you, thank you for your faithfulness. You saw a scale of the plat for here. We're just in building number 3. We renovated the offices, that house. We built our own trailer bays instead of renting those big 4 trailer bays that you saw. We built this as a children's ministry building. Don't forget that. We're borrowing 1/2 of it. And then we've got plans for 3 other buildings. All those buildings have been approved. We did all that a long time ago. We did what we needed to, blacktop-wise and otherwise, to be ready for that future. So don't go thinking that what we are is what we're always going to be. We're getting ready to mix things up. We keep talking about the 88% of Franklin and Anderson County who are not connected to Christ. We can talk about it. I can put numbers up on the wall, graphs, pie charts, and all that. You and I are going to have to go after that group. We can't just sit here and hope they just little by little just step in here. We've got to go after them. We've got to. We're not called to just sit and gather. We're called to go after these people. Let them know about the hope that they have in Christ, just like someone did me, just like someone did you. And I don't want to use the word pushing. I know I should use the word leading, but I'm going to lead you to go after these people. They're messy. They've gone through a lot. They've tried out a lot. But I said on the screen, I don't know on the DVD, the future leaders of our church have yet to pray their first prayer. They've yet to come to know Christ as a loving Savior. And we look forward to that. We look forward to that. I'm never going to get you off that picture as we continue in a discipleship culture. I brought some old friends with me today. Some of you who are here, you have no idea that are new to our church. All right. These are staples of Hope Church. All right. So if you're new to our church, even in the last 2 years, or a year, you're not going to know what these are. These cards have carried us a long way, right? I have used these things. Let me explain how these cards came to be. Do you remember the rock group INXS? INXS. Do you remember them, INXS? And they had a video when videos were the ticket, and on MTV. And the video when their song they had Hesitate, Dedicate, Just Can't Wait, and they were just flipping cards, you know? I liked the video just for the cards. So I thought, you know, if it works on the video, maybe it'll work at church. So Hope Church, we're on a journey. Where are we going? We don't know. We don't know. We know some of it. We don't know all of it. In the book of Hebrews, the chapter of faith, we get down to the life of Abraham. It said Abraham followed God, didn't know where he was going. Didn't know where he was going. Ask me if my journey's changed in the last 2 years. Let me ask you, has your journey changed in the last 2 years? Yeah. Is it going to change in the next one? Yes. We sometimes give false leadership by saying a good leader knows where he's going. That's what the world says. Give me a 7-year plan. Give me an 11-year plan. Give me a 5-year plan. Just give me a plan. And Scripture doesn't say that. Scripture says that we trust the one who has our future and we follow him. And so we're on a journey. We know some of the journey. I'm not going to say act like we don't know some of it. We know we know some of it. We don't know all of it. Changes rapidly, sometimes drastically. How are we going to be on this journey? We're going to be godly people with godly character and integrity. We're going to live this way. We're going to react with a kingdom attitude. I was watching a documentary on the Shakers in Shakertown. They did not call themselves Shakers. They were given that as a nickname because in a part of their worship, they would shake. And so when people referred to them, they referred to them as the Shakers. We go there today to eat, to tour, to see their communal lifestyle and all this evolved at it, their architecture, the buildings, their handiwork. And one of the things that came out was that the reason they were so good at what they did, they believe worship of God affected everything. And I love that part of it. And that your work, even your handiwork, was part of your worship. We do everything to the glory of God. Everything we do. I put this in here because you'll leave it. Even when you mow your yard, you know, it's to the glory of God. Everything we do, we put our hand to, we're godly in it. We have a kingdom reaction to it. We're going to be obedient. Continue to be obedient. Even when the world and everybody around you screams you not to be obedient, we're going to be obedient to Him. How do I respond? I respond with godly character. I respond with obedience that He asked me to do. And sometimes God has called and awakened some things in all of you all. And so how do you start? Don't forget me talking about the big boat, the ship, that the way to get the ship to move is not crank the engine or reel the anchor all the way in, is just get it off the ground that far. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. My life is pretty transparent before you. I did one thing to help me get back in the gym. And that is I found slip-on tennis shoes that don't require any socks. Because I hate socks. I hate to wear socks. I don't know if you know, when they bury you, they don't put any socks or shoes on you. And I'm right there, I'm fine. I'm okay with that. I may even let that part be shown, you know, just let my feet stick out in the end of the casket there a little bit. You think that's silly? And I know you do, but it's not silly to me. You know why? Because I dreaded putting on socks and shoes. So one thing I did, I found these Skechers tennis shoes that you can just slip on without any socks. That's getting the anchor off the ground that far, right? That got me back in the gym. I know it doesn't make any sense to you. It doesn't have to, because it's not your deal. My point is, God has called you to things. He's stirring up things within you. If you bring them to me, I'm going to equip you to do them. Be obedient to that. Get the anchor off the floor. Tonight, we're going to be commissioning Andrew's church, Andrew and Kurt. And we're excited. We're kicking them out. They're no longer under our sponsorship. A lot of times I'm in Lexington meeting with them and helping them out. And tonight we'll be commissioning them. But how did all that begin? It just started with prayer. It started just getting the anchor off the bottom just about that far. And now it's moved and moved and moved and moved. On this journey, you have got to be patient. The world you live in is fast-paced and shortcut, but you can't be that way in the kingdom. Okay? You got to be patient. I mean, we've been patient and 20 years has clicked by, right? And you're going, man, those days of being mobile were great. You're right. The key word in that is they were great. I was glad to get to a permanent place. I am just going to tell you. I have to tell you, as a leader, I knew our church was worn out. You understand what I'm saying? I knew that. And we were taxed, worn out, tired, just even from the manual labor of being together. So we got to be patient. You got to be patient. You got to let the Lord put it together. But when He does ask you to move, you've got to respond to the Holy Spirit. But until then, be patient. Quit wrestling with things. I said this I said this the other day. I had a guy, we were talking, we were chatting, and I said, if I could, if obviously I want everybody saved, right? So that's a given. But over on that, if the Lord could let me do one thing to all people, here's what I would do. I would slow every one of you all down. I'd slow you down. You're running so fast, you don't even see it. You don't even, I mean, it's not that you saw a moment and missed it. You don't even see the moment. As I would just slow us down. I remember when we started Hope Church, all we did was unload, set up, gather, worship, pray, and that's it. We did that for 3 years. We didn't have a youth ministry. We didn't have, and we had a prayer ministry. Every Sunday night we prayed, and we go, okay, what can we do better? We met actually where my mother and father-in-law live, which was Lou and Bob Rose's house is in the picture, but my in-laws live there now. And we met there every Sunday night with leadership. And we prayed, okay, what's going on? And we made decisions, just be patient. You know, we're not going to make the Sunday-Wednesday schedule. We're not going to have you busy all the time on campus. We let you go on and live your life and disciple you in that. But it was year three, before we even started a student group. We wanted to learn to worship all over again. So we got to be patient. On this journey, we're going to be flexible. Things change. The room you signed up for, you may not get it. I know of a church. I can drive you to that church. I can take you to that room that the Minister of Education was moving one group out of a big room. It was a big room with a small number of people. And he was moving their room to another room because there was a small room with a large number of people. It makes sense, right, to put the bigger group in the bigger room and the smaller group in the smaller room. Well, the group that was in the big room that was small didn't like it. They caught the room on fire in the building. It's a Baptist church. Just so other people couldn't use it. Crazy. Be flexible. Everything's not going to go your way. When we built this building, I thought both these rooms on the side here were going to hold 40 people. It can hold 40 people all right, but it'll break a Guinness World Record, you know, of cramming 40 people in there. It'll be like 15 people in a Volkswagen, you know. There's a lot of things I've got to be flexible with. There's a lot of things you've got. We got to bend a little bit. We're not going to get everything we always want. We got to work with it. We'll figure it out. It'll be okay, right? You've got to be flexible on this journey. You're not going to hear a lot about titles here. You're not going to hear a lot about titles. You're not going to hear of raising people to places of authority that are permission. We don't do that here. One title we all have is the title of servant. That's really the title we have as believers. That's what Paul said to himself all the time. I am a slave of Christ. I am a servant of the Lord. That's all I am. Even sometimes with Jesus, he would let them know, I came not to be served, but to serve. My favorite passage of scripture about this is James 1:1. James 1:1. He says, I am a slave, a doulos is the Greek word. I'm a servant of the Lord. Now hang on, here's the catch. James could have said, I am James, the brother of Jesus. He could have name dropped right there, but he didn't do it. Right? He didn't say, now y'all can listen to everybody else, but you really need to listen to me because I'm Jesus's brother. He didn't say that. He didn't say that I'm James, the pastor of the First Church of Jerusalem. He could have, but he didn't. He could have said, I am James, who heads the council of a number of churches. He could have said that. He chose not to say he's the brother of Jesus, not to say he's the pastor of the First Church in Jerusalem, or that he's the head of several churches. He just said, I am a slave and a servant of Christ. And that's the title that we carry. is we are servants. We've all got a role. We've all got a task involved in it, and we serve. But on our journey, it's about our testimony. And that's what we're going to get in a discipleship culture, is I want to hear your story. We want to help you with your story. And your story is about what Jesus has done for you. Spiritual conversations are not about church growth. They're not about denominational doctrines or theology. They're not about what one church is doing versus what another church is doing. It is our spiritual conversations need to boil down to one man, and that is Jesus. We'll talk about the weather and football and sports and presidents and everything else. Fine. But bring that conversation back home where it needs to be about Christ, right? Bring it home. Remember, I've told you, if I get all of y'all talking about hot dogs, just everybody all the time, the sale of hot dogs go up in every grocery store in two counties, right? If you talk about Jesus on a regular basis, then the conversation is going to continue to be about Jesus. And then our thoughts are going to be about Jesus. And then our reactions are going to be about Jesus. That's just the way it happens. So it's not about our title, it's about our testimony, and our testimony is about the Lord. Here's our mission statement, Isaiah 61:1. We've had it from the beginning. We keep it, and we revolve everything we do around it. We believe that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon Jesus. He's the anointed, and he has the seal of approval to do what he needs to do in your life. He has tasked us with three things. We are to bring good news to the poor, not only the poor in spirit, but also the ones who are poor in poverty. Some of the most faithful people I have ever met in my life are people who are living a life of poverty. And you're thinking that if Jesus is the Lord of their life, it will remove them out of poverty. I have seen them live incredible, amazing, powerful lives. And some of them have chosen to step into poverty. Absolutely step into it, not out of it, to go there. There is evidence in Scripture that he calls you to poverty. He calls you to a life of lesser than. So we preach good news. We heal up brokenhearted. I think that's one thing that we've tried to be. I'm not saying we're 100% faithful on that. But we have tried to love on brokenhearted people. Around here, we're the trauma center. There's no doubt about it. Other churches send people here for counseling. I counsel more people outside of our church than I do inside our church. And then I'm in a communication with their pastor. I'm not stealing the sheep, but I am ministering to flocks, whether it's ours or another. We love brokenhearted people. Our state convention, they'll run into people in the state and they'll send people here. Younger pastors are sent here. University classes are coming here to help groom people in leadership in one thing only, how to handle brokenhearted people. We welcome that here. We don't try to distance ourselves from brokenheartedness. He has called us to heal the brokenhearted. I think he's given us the tools to do that. Then the last thing is we proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. I can go throughout this church and tell you what some folk have been in bondage to and in prison to, and then watch how the Lord has delivered them and relieved them from that. Another verse that we've used throughout the years is 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12. When I was a little boy, I was raised with the hymn, "Now I raise my Ebenezer," right? I'm thinking Scrooge. I don't know about you all. I'm going, it's Christmas time. What's an Ebenezer? I'll just sing the hymn with my mom, you know. I raised my Ebenezer. What's an Ebenezer? I didn't know. I'm going to raise it. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to raise it. Well, Ebenezer is a stone. It is a stone. And it is a marker. And Samuel used this to mark how faithful the Lord has been. So Samuel took a stone, set it upright between Mitzvah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer. That's not a community. That's a rock. Explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point. Do you ever think Samuel took people back to that Ebenezer rock? Or sometimes I want to take y'all back to the middle school. I did on a DVD today. To the 30 different facilities that we rented and set up. And you know, back then, and we're not a church that really fusses. Some of you all may have your opinion on things. That's okay. I'm prepared for that. I can handle that. But back then, you didn't have time to fuss, did you? Because we'd say, would you just pick up that table and take it back to that trailer? You know, would you get that tub right there and just go on? We were thankful that we had a chair. We didn't care what kind of a chair it was. It showed our office buildings. Tyra remembers when we had an office building with no furniture. We literally, Susie was on her knees with an old typewriter with white out. We borrowed the stationery from Sand Spring Baptist Church. They gave it to us. We also used their baptistry on a regular basis. We didn't have money to buy anything. We didn't have any. I can remember. Do y'all remember teaching Wednesday night children's ministry in there and not having any furniture? Do you remember that? I mean, we didn't have a chair worn for anybody to sit in. You know what we did? We got the anchor off the floor that far. That's what we did. We got the anchor off the bottom that far. We had a big office building, no furniture. I used to think that was funny. And the walls were sloped, and you'd walk in there and boom, be talking to somebody and hit your head. Do you remember that? We didn't have it. I could take you back there and say, don't forget how faithful God is. I remember when we unloaded, we used trucks. It looked like a freight depot at the middle school. And we didn't have a trailer. Couldn't afford a trailer. And I remember David Rowe about 5:30 in the morning knocking on my door. I'm going, what in the world? Knocking on my door. He said, preacher, you got to come see this. Now, this was on up in the fall of the year. And we had Sundays where we had already loaded, unloaded, and loaded. And we used trucks and it hadn't rained. This was the first rainy weekend. Roe knocks on my door. You got to come see us, preacher. We went down to where our office building was that had no furniture. And there in the middle of the parking lot was a trailer that we still have today. That trailer is over 20 years old. And there was a notebook paper on the back of it. It says, To Hope Community Church. We have no idea who gave us that trailer. On the first rainy Sunday, that we needed our stuff covered up, right? God provided a trailer. We were needing a sound system. We rented from Doo-Wop. We borrowed from everybody. We thought, well, we got a portable sound system. It's going to cost $22,000. We prayed about that $22,000. We didn't have it. Guy walks in off the street, walks up to Susie's office, hands down 1,000 shares of stock, gave it to us. It's yours. We sold that stock at $22 a share. Paid for it. Y'all see where I'm going with this?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He's been faithful. Yeah. I could take you back. I could go get that trailer and run you a tour through it where you just walk in, see the empty trailer, and walk right back out, right? I could do that. And say, remember his faithfulness. I could take you to the middle school. Remember his faithfulness, right? How many times do you think Samuel made reference to the Ebenezer rock? When somebody questioned the faithfulness of God, I can see Samuel going back to Ebenezer rock and just pointing. So sometimes I want to take y'all back to the middle school and just point. I want to take you to that trailer and just point. I want to take you to that sound system and just point. Just point. I want to be able to do that. I thank you for your faithfulness, but we've got to continue our faithfulness, even financially to this church, of what we got to be in the future. We've got to continue that. I have a saying, and my saying is, people ask me, how faithful has God been to you? Instead of an Ebenezer rock, I use my watch. I go, what time is it? He's been faithful up to now. And then you can ask me that in a minute from now. I'll go, well, what time is it? He's been faithful up to now. And if you ask me tomorrow, I'll look at it and go, what time is it? He's been faithful up to now. So instead of celebrating today our 20 years, and I'm really not good at celebration, I mean that. I'm glad that some of you all are. I'm just not. How do we celebrate it? Well, let's celebrate his faithfulness. Has he ever let you down? Even when you were faithless, he remained faithful, because he will not deny himself. He will remain faithful. I'm sure he pointed to the Ebenezer rock on several occasions. I want to lead us in a prayer of thanks today. And the only way I know how to celebrate it is just really be thankful. And let's celebrate with a prayer of thanks today. And let's thank him for what he has done in the life of our church. Let's thank him for what he's done in your life personally. Let's let the Holy Spirit move us during this segment of time right now. And we can look back and know that he holds our past. Will you stand with me today and know that he holds our future and yours? So let's stand, if you will. Let's have a time of prayer together. I'm just going to be quiet for a moment. Would you thank the Lord for his faithfulness to you? Thank you for his faithfulness to you. Would you thank him for his faithfulness to us as a church? And then would you stand saying that Lord, I trust you for my future, and I trust you for our future. Trust you. I trust you in what has been. I trust you in what is. And Lord, I trust you for all the days of my life from this moment on. He is faithful. The Lord has brought us this far. And would you pray for the future of our church? Trust the Lord to guide us in discipleship, connecting with our area. Not always in just things that we've done, in creative ways of the future. Pray for those who are yet to be saved. Pray for those who are yet to lead in our church. And pray that God would raise up leaders in our church. Pray that. Our invitation is here for you to come and surrender your life to Christ. You may have never done that. Let today be that day. Let me encourage you. I even plead with you. Let today be that day. If you're here and you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents the body of Christ given. The drink represents his blood shed. You take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you eat it, consume it. Remember his sacrifice, his faithfulness to us, and then give thanks. The invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason, for you to come. Counselors, if you come, find your spot, if you'll do that today. Logan's going to lead us. It's a song that you'll worship to, that we believe strongly. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your days of faithfulness in the past, and thank you for your days of faithfulness in the future. The invitation is for you as Logan leads us and the Holy Spirit leads us.